this is essentially your meeting, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's the RAS NAM, and it's a great event. I mean, the RAS has been holding these annual meetings for quite a while now, but this is easily the biggest, so that's great. One of the things that I think is great about the NAM is that there's such a tremendous turnout from young researchers, postgrads and postdocs.
Certainly true. You look around the room, or certainly the session that I've been in so far, is that you look around and think, oh, it's awfully... There's not too many grey hairs around, you know.
Well, that's something we've been working on. That was one of the things I was a bit disappointed about the last NAM, which I came to, which also was very good, the one in Preston. And I felt that although we were getting there with the turnout from the young astronomers, we weren't really having such a good turnout from more senior astronomers. Actually, I think it's much better this time. I mean, I think there are a lot of senior people here, and certainly there will be over the week. We seem to have a particularly good set of plenary lectures, very good set of plenary lectures, which should attract people, and lots of very good sessions and so on. So I think, obviously, our goal is to make it the meeting that everybody needs to be at every year.
the essential meeting.
But for if you compare with the AAS, where they have achieved that in a way, that everybody in the US goes to the AAS.
This is the American National
American Society. Astronomical Society meeting. The two features that make it a must-attend conference are that it's the job forum, basically, where people go to hire new people and therefore want to see the young people in action. And secondly, it's a great opportunity that the media are there, and so it's a great opportunity to publicise your work. Now, I think we are beginning to get there on both fronts, that essentially this is seen as a place where young people can be seen by those who might like to hire them, consider hiring them. And also, I think that the press coverage is definitely improving every time. So I think we're getting there.
For the young astronomers, though, it's terribly, terribly scary for the first time to stand up in front of the entire UK community and present their research. I mean, the jitters, I have to say, you know, are pretty intense.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The YAM meeting, Young Astronomers Meeting, is quite nice in that respect, in that it's entirely organised by the PhD students, and it's mainly aimed at each other. Although, of course, they do want everybody else to come as well, if possible. It is intimidating. It's up to groups to, as it were, train young people in giving talks, give them the opportunity to give talks within the group.
So it's not such a big shock to come and give a talk.
Yes, so I hope it isn't the first time they've ever given a talk. But, probably not.
So the Royal Astronomical Society was founded when?
1820. It's the oldest.
Yes.
Yes, easily the oldest. And it's also, apart from the American Astronomical Society, it's easily the largest astronomical society, because we have 3,300 members. Apart from the International Astronomical Union, it is the largest international society. We have 1,000 overseas members, and that is more even than the American Astronomical Society has. It's quite a unique organization.
How can people get involved with the RAS? I mean, we have this vision of the RAS being comprised of senior astronomers who do senior work, but you're saying that we've got a lot of
Our goal is to have as members everybody, including the postgrads, postdocs, academics. We'd like to have really high proportion of the community and members, because we have this fantastic offer for postgrads that the first year of membership it costs £1.
We can't get any better than that, can we?
No, I don't know why they don't all sign up immediately. But it's...
So if you're a postdoc listening, come on, you've got to...
Postdocs is a bit more, but we do need them to join. And the thing is that really, especially as the RAS is becoming more political, more involved in science policy and so on, we need to be able to feel we're speaking on behalf of the community, and therefore we need the community to be with us and join us.
Yes, there's a certain degree of stewardship of the study itself. I imagine you are a representative of the main society for astronomy in the UK, and as you say, there's a lot of international membership as well. So. Yeah. Your voice, or the society's voice, is being heard more and more in political circles.
And it is very gratifying that we are listened to. The media are certainly very responsive to press releases we put out and so on. And so we, and also in government, also we can get in and speak to people. So I think we are quite potentially a powerful organization, but of course we do need the support of the members.
What are the sort of issues that the society wants to make, wants to exert some influence over at policy level?
Well, we want to keep making the case for funding of peer research, blue sky research. It's always tough because governments like to see a return from their investment, and so the investment in, they think the investment in science should show the benefit to the economy in some way. I think you can argue that astronomy and its related sciences, you know, solar system science, space science, etc., they do bring a benefit. In some cases, it's reasonably direct in that there are some applications that amazingly quickly end up in use, but generally the influence is more through the people that we train in physics departments, the fact that we draw children into science at school and we draw students into doing physics. So that, I think, is perhaps our big contribution to the economy. So we have to keep arguing that. Because at the present time, the last 6 months, the issue has been astronomy funding and the fact that the current allocation in this spending review has been rather unfavourable. And so that's the thing we've been campaigning on very strongly and quite effectively, I think, although things are still not sorted by any means.
There's a special session at this meeting, indeed, where we hear from representatives from STFC.
Absolutely. I know that lots of people are looking forward to this in a grim sort of way.
I'm sure the people who are on the panel are not looking forward to this. Because
they know they've got to face their community, and I hope they're ready for it.
This has always been a serious question posed of anybody who pursues astronomy as a career. So it's the at a cocktail party question.
Yes.
Not that we get invited to too many cocktail parties, but it's the cocktail party question. What do you actually do?
Yes.
And why should we care? I mean, it's this case of you don't actually produce anything.
Yeah.
However, it's very difficult to try and explain to some people that what we do is extremely important in that we are inspiring generation after generation of scientists.
Well, you say that people ask that question, because I guess they do, and certainly governments do. But I'm always heartened by the fact that the public is so supportive of astronomy. And when, during this current crisis, when astronomy seems to be under attack, it's amazing how much public concern there is about that. And this has kept the story in the media for the past months. We wouldn't be able to do that if there wasn't support. I think the thing is people really do find it interesting, they find it inspiring, they regard this as something that human beings have to do and, you know, we should be doing in the UK. I think that's great. And I think the only difficulty is justifying the actual amount that we spend on astronomy. Because if you say, well, okay, we accept the case, there should be astronomy, there should be some support for it. The trouble is, what is the level of support there should be? And then you start getting into, well, there should be the international subscriptions, there should be instrumentation to support ESA and ESO, European Space Agency, European Southern Observatory, and then we need grants and so on to support what happens in the university, and you end up with the sort of budget that we have. And so I think, although it's a lot of money that goes into astronomy, I think the public do support us being funded.
There is a feeling that astronomy is a worthy subject, a worthy study to be funded at the levels that it's currently being funded at. Even by people who seem to think that all we do is produce pretty pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope, they can see that this is inspirational.
I think they know that there's more to it than just pictures, because they've heard about black holes, they hear about dark matter, they hear about dark energy, they hear about exoplanets. They know that new discoveries are being made, and these are on topics that are really interesting, the nature of the universe we live in, the origin of life and solar systems and so on. So I think it's, we're lucky that the media do give a lot of coverage to astronomy, and it allows us to tell people what we're doing. Astronomers are very good at that, actually. We have some excellent work going on in education and outreach. We've got sessions going on here at the moment. And there's some great programs going on, putting across the public what astronomy is about.
Certainly, that's what we're interested in. I mean, when we look at the program for this meeting, it's crammed full of most fantastic science, and they're all parallel sessions, which, unfortunately, if you ran them in series, would take probably a couple of weeks.
Yes.
We can't take the time off our research to do that, although I'm sure we'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to split ourselves over, we'd like to split ourselves over five parallel sessions so we can cover everything.
Yeah.
So we hope that we can put as much of it out there as we can.
I've been torn between sessions already, yes.
Let's talk a little bit more again about how young people can get involved with society. And we're talking about folk who are at school who might be amateur astronomers in their own right, maybe studying physics, mathematics at school. How can they get involved in the society?
We don't only have professional members. We do have quite a big membership of enthusiasts, as it were. Some of them are amateur astronomers, serious amateur astronomers. Some of them are people who write about astronomy. We have a number of school teachers who are keen on astronomy. So we do have members of this kind. We are looking at the idea of trying to create a more extended category of membership, which might be something like Friends of Astronomy or something, where we would, for a smaller subscription than the actual joining this full society, which isn't cheap, and people would get a magazine and public lectures and so on and be able to identify with our work. So we're looking at that. I certainly would like to see us have a broader support than just the professional astronomers.
Good.
I know the public are keen. Mm. And there's this project that has been organised called the Galaxy Zoo.
Oh, yes.
Chris Lintoff has been very strongly involved with this, and he's going to talk about it at the meeting, where members of the public were invited to log on to a web page and classify galaxies, and over 100,000 people participated in that.
Yes.
So those are the people I think we should be trying to draw in to support astronomy a little bit more actively. We'd love to do that.
In the last couple of minutes, can you tell us how you got into astronomy?
Ah, that's an interesting question. Actually, I didn't really do astronomy when I was at school. I didn't have a telescope or anything like that. I was really into mathematics, and I did a mathematics degree. But while I was doing that, I read a wonderful book by Fred Hoyle called Frontiers of Astronomy, in which he laid out all the unsolved questions of astrophysics and cosmology, all the way from the solar system to the larger scale. And I think that was what hooked me, really, that book. And so I decided that's what I wanted to do. I started off as a sort of theorist, but I gradually got interested in actually trying to get data to test theories. And so I have worked with lots of ground-based telescopes around the world in different wavelengths, bands, and also with space missions. So I feel I've done a bit of everything. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very, very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.